That's such a joyous song, and I almost saw a couple of you start swaying. I saw some heads bobbing. We get some movement, even in Presbyterians. We can move. If you'd like to open your Bibles with me, we're going to start in John 3, and then we're going to jump back to Luke 2 for the message. So I'm going to read John 3, verses 22 through 30. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and baptizing. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there, and the people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then a matter of dispute developed on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all the people are coming to him." John replied, "A person can receive not even one thing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom, but the friend of the groom who stands and listens to him rejoices greatly because of the groom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, if you want to flip back over to Luke chapter 2, we go back to the shepherds in the field and the angels proclaiming to them. Luke 2, starting in verse 8 through verse 20. "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. And so the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly army of angels praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had departed from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen him, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at the things which they were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Amen. So we've been on this journey of Advent. And as you saw this morning, we lit the third candle, the candle of joy. The first two candles were hope, peace. Now we're at joy, and then we're going to go to love, and then ultimately the Christ candle on Christmas Eve. Now, as I come to these things, I start thinking and kind of have the logical, analytical thought process, and it occurred to me that this is almost like an equation. Like, John, this is weird. Don't go down that path, but I'm going to. So you think of hope plus peace equals joy, all because of love. the because of love part isn't like a cause and effect part of the equation. But it's kind of interesting how as we go through these things with the hope, peace, joy, and love, they're all interconnected. They all have similarities, and they go together. And we see that as we focus on each one, it connects to the ones before and the one to come. So with hope of our salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, we then have a peace of reconciliation because we are made whole. If you remember last week, we talked about peace being not just an absence of fighting or war, but a positive of being made whole, and that's the ministry of reconciliation that we preach with the good news of the gospel. So our hope is in Jesus. Remember that the archaic version of the word hope means a trust and reliance on God. It's not a just optimistic out worldview, but is a trust and reliance on God, where God is making us whole and complete in Him. And because of all that, we have joy of this salvation. Now, I read out of John, looking also at Luke, because when we were looking at John's passage and looking at John the Baptist, one of the things that struck me as really interesting is at the end in verse 29, he says, "So this joy of mine has been made full." Because his purpose, his job on earth was to be a messenger coming before the Lord, making a way for the Lord. And that was what he was supposed to do. So as Jesus came on the scene, he decreased. His importance had been fulfilled, and now Christ is fulfilling his work. But where I'm going with that is our joy comes with the hope, peace, and when we are made new, we have these spiritual gifts that we are given. And fulfilling the purpose that God has put before us gives us great joy, along with the joy we have of the salvation and the peace and the hope that comes from Christ. But we also have this joy of being integrated into this wonderful ministry and wonderful salvation history that God has placed before us. Entering into the place that He has put us and doing the job that He has set on our hearts to do gives us great joy. Now, as I've mentioned several times in the past, that I like to look at different music and movies and videos, and sometimes even the secular movies get it right because of that common grace that God gives to all of us. And you see these pieces of God's blessing on different things. And one of the movies is really kind of cute. It's a kid's movie. It's called Inside Out. It's an animated Pixar movie. It came out maybe 10-ish years ago. And Inside Out is a very interesting movie. Any hands of who's seen that, maybe with the grandkids or something? I'm not going to do the whole synopsis, but I'm going to give you a little bit of what I'm going with here. It starts out inside the mind of this little girl. They have personified the emotions that are in us. And the first emotion that come up is joy. And she's all happy, and she's controlling Riley from inside her brain. And then here comes sadness. And she's crying because not getting food or whatever. And there are other emotions like fear and anger and disgust. And so what happens in this movie is Joy is trying to make Riley happy all the time. And there are what they call core memories, where in someone's life as they develop, there are certain memories that we have that define our lives and shape our personality as we move forward. And one of these core memories is a joyous time where Riley's being held up by her hockey teammates and being paraded around on their shoulders, and they're so happy, and it's a wonderful moment of this team coming together. What Joy learns through the movie as she's trying to push sadness out of the way, because she doesn't want Riley to be sad, is she finds this memory of what happened before that event, before Riley was held up with her teammates. Riley had missed a very important shot in hockey, and she cost her team the state championship. And she was so down on herself, and she went off and was just crying, but her teammates valued her more than the state championship, and they went to her and picked her up, and Joy learned that the greatest joy came out of those hard times. Now, where am I going with all this? When the shepherds heard this joyous news, and they went and they saw these amazing things, and they were praising God and glorifying him, where'd they go back to? Did they get to go to a fancy temple? Were they immediately made rich? Didn't their socioeconomical status raise once they had heard this news? No, they went back to the fields. But this joy that there is now hope and that there is peace in the world, they were in the fields smelling like sheep in probably what seemed like a very dire situation. But the joy of the Lord came into their hearts. And they had hope and they had peace. Even through times of trials and strife, what God has done for us, what he does inside of us, is a joyous thing. So out of the sadness, joy came in. So in our lives, out of strife, out of hard times, trials and tribulations, God came in and said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you from this fallen world that without me is condemned already. But I'm going to take you out of that. I'm going to give you my spirit. I'm going to forgive all the sins you have. Write my law on your heart. Make you a new creation. And within that, we have this joy. Now, as we come to the time of Christmas, and kind of mentioned last week when we were talking about peace, this time of year doesn't seem all that peaceful, does it? There's so many things going on, so many parties to plan or attend or figure out who to buy for, logistics of traveling. We get so distracted. And I think in all those distractions, we forget about this joy. Even in life, as we try to achieve things, some people want to fill their lives with prosperity and having more stuff and want to be climb the corporate ladder and do all these things. But at the end, they feel empty. They're wanting something more. Now, back in the year 2000, a movie came out. It was called Family Man. It was a Nicolas Cage movie. I think it was Tia Leone who played his counterpart in that movie. But it's a very interesting movie where Nicolas Cage had gained money and wealth and power within this law firm. I think he was a lawyer. And his life was great, he thought. But he was alone on Christmas Eve, and he went into this convenience store to buy something, and someone came in and robbed the convenience store, and he was able to defuse the situation by saying, here, dude, just take this money, don't hurt anyone, and he defused the situation. Well, unbeknownst to him, the robber was actually an angel who came, and the movie goes, he took him to another life. It's almost like Scrooge seeing different parts of his life. But he wakes up and he's in a house. Not his fancy apartment. He's in a suburban house. And there's an old girlfriend in his bed. He's like, what is going on? I was just in my own home. Now I'm in this strange house in the suburbs. There are kids crying. I don't know what's going on. He'd been given a gift of seeing what his life would have been like had he started the family rather than going through climbing the ladder and gaining the stuff. And throughout the movie, the first part, he was really confused and trying to figure out how to make this stop, go back to his old life. But he started to realize that this family he loved, these children that he never had, he began to love them and cherish them. And near the end, the angel shows back up, and Nicolas Cage is like, wait a second, you can't stop this. You can't just rip me out of my old life, bring me something, and as I start to love this life, take me back. And he's like, this is just a glimpse of what it could have been. And as he came out of the dream, desiring that life, he actually went and, spoiler alert, he went and found his college girlfriend, and they started talking, and that's where the movie ended. But it was the relationships and those, the family and the children that gave him joy. And kind of where I'm going with this is we can get so caught up in the distractions of trying to achieve things that the joy is right here. The joy is in our families. And we have been adopted into the family of God. He's made us children of God because of Jesus Christ on the cross, because of Jesus Christ raising from the dead, because of the Holy Spirit regenerating our souls, bringing us from death to life. And we are now the family of God, the body of Christ. That's where our joy is. Being reconciled to God the Father through the work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we go through this time of Advent and we look at the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love, this is an amazing gospel message that how can we keep to ourselves? The shepherds were so amazed by everything, they started going around telling everyone. And everyone was amazed at the story. How many people have you shared that joy with? Sometimes as we become Christians and go through the Christian life, we can get into a rut of we go to church, we do our thing, and then where's the fire from once you believed for the first time? That fire in your soul that said, hallelujah, I'm born again. But we get complacent. Let us remember, because of the hope and the peace, because of love, we have this joy that we need to share. We have this joy in our hearts. But we can forget about it. It can get lost in all the noise of the world. I pray that this Christmas season, we can see past the noise and distraction of what this world has created and made Christmas into, and proclaim what Christmas is. The hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of God our Father, sending Christ the Son to us and bringing us from death to life through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a message of joy that we need to go tell it on the mountain. And you have a wonderful opportunity. Yes, I'm going to plug the Christmas Eve candlelight service right now. You have cards out in the foyer to invite someone. Tell them about how God has worked in your life to bring joy, to bring hope, to bring peace, because you were loved. They come and worship with me. Or just come and check it out. Do you know someone who doesn't know Christ? When's the last time you just told someone about Jesus, about what he's done for you? Simple thing, you don't need to be a theologian and know everything about apologetics and epistemology and soteriology and all those things that everyone's going, what? What are you saying? Is it Greek? Partially it's Latin. But just invite them. They come on to Christmas Eve candlelight and see the joy and the love of the Lord. That's what this season is about. Preparing our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ. He came once and he's going to come again. And sometimes we forget the joy of that second part. He's going to come again. About a year ago, I was driving in the car with Liam. Yep, I'm going to tell you about it, but it's a good story. And when we were listening to music, it was one of those rare quiet moments in the car. You know, you just drive and listen to the radio. And a song came on, by Jordan Felice, saying he's coming again. It's a really fun, upbeat song, saying Jesus is coming again. And about halfway through the song, I hear, what? Jesus is coming back? Somehow throughout his Christian upbringing, the message that got lost, that yes, he died and rose again, but guess what? He's coming back, and he has such joy about this, that wow, Jesus is actually coming back to earth. I want to meet him. Where is that joy in our lives? Yes, we've been saved from our sins. We've been brought from death to life, but he's coming back. Amen? There we go. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Alrighty. No longer the chosen frozen. We've broken that. Now we're on fire. Come on. So let me end with a prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for everything you have given us. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you have given through Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have made us whole and given us peace. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you put in our hearts, all because you loved us so much that you sent your only Son to die on a cross. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, perfect gift, God the Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides and directs us, helps us and tell the world about your Son, Jesus, and our Lord. Father God, I ask that you send the Holy Spirit to us like you did with the disciples at Pentecost, that we would be so full of joy that we can't help but go out and boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel. Lord, I pray in all these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.